How good it is to have you with us today for our Bible study as we consider the 10 lepers. It's an interesting story, and I know you're going to be blessed as you think of it with Boyd Nicholson as our Bible study leader. This message was given on our program 1952, and you're enjoying it on program 189. This is an interesting study, a real study in appreciation, and I pray that God the Spirit's going to richly bless you. As you look at your study guide, this cassette, The Word of God, may the Lord bless you. And as you study, I want to ask you again to please pray for the Family Bible Hour. It's reaching out to millions around the world today. And oh, how we value the prayers of God's beloved people. Now, this is Arnett McEntee, asking you to pray for us, and if you've time, it would be nice to know that you enjoyed this cassette, and we'd appreciate a note of response from you to the Family Bible Hour, Box 494, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, L2R6V9. Now, may the Lord's rich blessing rest upon you as you study His Word.
Thank you, Arnett. This has God's blessing in our program today. Father, we are indeed thankful for all Thy benefits. And we pray Thou will teach us from the lesson today that most important attitude of thankfulness to Thee, the living God. We do thank Thee above all for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, at verse 11, these words, "And it came to pass as he went," the Lord Jesus, that is, "as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" There's no blight so widespread upon mankind as ingratitude. No wound so deep, so sore, exists as that caused by the thankless spirit. There is no plague so withering, no folly with such sad consequences as ingratitude for God's great goodness. The terrifying proportions of human ingratitude are presented in the record of the 10 lepers of Luke chapter 17. The Lord Jesus is seen making his way to Jerusalem along a route that lay between Samaria and Galilee. On the outskirts of a village stood a pathetic little group, forlorn in their common misery. They were lepers, excommunicated by law from society. They were sentenced to stand apart from the community. They were as close as they could get, perhaps, that they might at least see their loved ones from time to time. When they saw the Lord Jesus, they lifted up their voices and cried for mercy. No doubt they had heard of others being healed by this wonderful stranger. Their cry indicates no great understanding of who he was, but any hope of help was welcome. The Lord gave them a command that called upon their faith to respond. "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." That, you see, was the legal requirement in Israel. The priest examined the case and, according to the instructions of the Lord, would diagnose whether the disease had been cleansed or not. How beautiful is the variety of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes he healed with a touch, sometimes with a word, sometimes from a distance, and here by a command that called for faith and obedience. had they begun to look at their wasted bodies and reason why they should go to the priest as they were, they would have missed the blessing. They just started out. Then, as they were on the way, they felt the surge of vital health pour into their bodies, and they were cleansed of their disease. When they saw that they were healed, doubtless, with their newfound energy, they hastened to get their clearance from the priest so they could return at once to their loved ones and home, except one. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back, the scripture says. First, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Then he fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus, the divine physician, giving him thanks. He was the only one who returned, and the Lord calls him this stranger, for he was a Samaritan. Samaria had been devastated long ago by the Assyrian invasion as a result of Israel's following Jeroboam, one of the kings, in his wickedness. The people were carried away into Assyria, and the king of Assyria brought immigrants to repopulate the area from Babylon and other parts, and ultimately this population took the name of Samaritans. They were characterized by mixed religion. The Bible says they feared the Lord and served their own gods. They sought to join with the returned captives in the rebuilding of the temple. And when these Samaritans were refused that privilege, they became adversaries and sought to discourage and trouble and frustrate the people of Judah in their purpose to build for God. Sanballat, an influential Samaritan whose daughter had married a grandson of a Jewish high priest, built another temple for his son-in-law to serve in on the top of Mount Gerizim. Thereby was the sect of the Samaritans established, but with bitter antagonism perpetuated between them that lasts even to this day, between them and the Jews. This bitterness was never stronger than in the days of the Lord's earthly ministry. And so that little note in Luke 17, "and he was a Samaritan," carries a real significance. While the nine Jews who were healed did not return to show gratitude, the Samaritan, likely well aware of the natural antagonism that existed between his people and the Jews, realized that the Lord had shown such love and mercy to him, he who was a stranger. What is the cause of ingratitude, do you think? When man is taken up with the benefits he's enjoyed from God, then he becomes guilty of thoughtlessness as to the source of those benefits, and thus he becomes thankless. James, in his little epistle, declares, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So that every meal we eat, every meaningful work we do, every faculty and capacity to perform that work and so to earn our wages by which we buy goods and homes, etc., all comes from God. Yet how thankless man can be. A successful businessman sat in my car one day and said, "Well, I must be doing something good. Look how God has blessed me." I pointed out to him that he was making a fundamental error. God is not good to us because we are good. He is good to us because he is good, and that is a significant difference. Ingratitude can be the fruit of forgetfulness. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God." We read those words in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 11 to 14. It's so easy to forget where it all comes from and fail to respond in gratitude. Another cause of the thankless spirit is pride. There is the ever-present danger of saying, or thinking at least, "My power and the might of my wealth hath gotten me this, the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." So says the scripture. It's easy to sit amidst our blessings and trace these blessings to our own business acumen or our own drive or our own self-discipline or talent or hard work or education or something. Now, while these are all part of the process, man robs God of praise when he fails to acknowledge that behind it all is the God who made us and who has ordered our circumstances and ordained our abilities. There are great perils, you know, in gratitude. There was a people who plunged into moral darkness and corruption to such a degree that God gave them up. The sad history is recorded in Romans chapter 1. Where did that awful, melancholy path begin? Here is the record. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. The rich farmer whom God had blessed with a bountiful harvest spoke only of my fruits, my goods, and my barns as he looked over his harvest. And God was not in all his thoughts. He had great plans for his future, ease, drink, and merriment, but what he did not consider was that he had no future left in which to implement his plans. He was thankless, heedless, careless, and lost. For God said, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." The Lord always appreciates the thankful spirit. So with this poor stranger of Samaria, when he returned to praise the Lord and to give thanks to the one who had healed him, he got an added blessing. First we read that they were cleansed. The Jew was interested in his ceremonial cleansing, but the Samaritan saw that he was healed. That's a different word. He didn't care about ceremonial cleansing. He was glad to be healed. However, when he returned in gratitude, the Lord said to him, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Again, a different word is used. It really means saved. The nine had their bodies healed, but this thankful man had, as a precious gift, salvation by faith added to his portion. May the Lord help us to be thankful and respond to the tender entreaties of the Master in the Gospel and be saved. Oh, Father, we would take this opportunity to thank thee for thy love to us all poor sinners, giving thy dear Son who gave himself to die, that we might be saved and forever thank thee in heaven and praise thee for the Lord Jesus. We pray that many will respond today, realizing thy goodness, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.